Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Paranormal Horizons.
Join us as we explore the
world of the paranormal. Paranormal on Blog Talk Radio. Relax, put your feet up, and get ready to enter.
Everyone listening this evening, I'm Pat Rice.
And I'm Jason Ophir.
Welcome to Paranormal Horizons here on a very fine Tuesday evening. And Jason, how are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Pretty good too. Hanging out, and I don't know, we kind of had a teaser, like it felt like summer over the weekend, and now it's kind of a little cooler in my area, but, you know, looking forward to that hot summer sun, and, yeah, but we've got some interesting things to talk about tonight, Jason. This is kind of our roundtable session, where we don't really have a special guest, but we are open and encourage folks to call in if they want to talk with us this evening about any subject that has to do with the paranormal, make comments about what we might be talking about. And I'll go ahead and throw that number out there. It's also on Facebook. But the phone number is 215-383-3999, 215-383-3999. So just call in if you want to chat with us this evening on our roundtable session. Will be online for about an hour now.
Yes, it should prove to be a good show. I know that we both have some stories that we want to talk about. And but before I forget, I wanted to throw out a big thank you to one of our past guests, Anita Jo Intenzo, author of A State of Horror. She did send me a copy of her book. I actually got it today, but I haven't had it started reading it yet. But when I do, I plan to give it a review, and I'm sure it's going to be an amazing book.
Yeah, she was a great guest, Jason. For those of you who were listening last week, or if you didn't, she has this, it's a true story about how she, a friend of hers died, and she was given the task of cleaning out the home and got into her friend's home, and there was many, many surprises that were scary. And she and her son, it sounded to me like they handled it very well, Jason. And then she was able to write a book about the experience, and it's just fascinating.
Yeah, I really love a good ghost story. And from our conversation that we had with her, it sounded like a pretty intense deal. And I can't wait to dig into the book and get some more details about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's cool that she sent you that book. And, you know, and Jason, I wanted to mention, before we get into some of the stories, that just some of the activity that we've had on Paranormal Horizons Facebook page. Now, thank you for everyone that has liked the page and supported us. And there's so many groups out there, Jason. It just blows my mind.
I know they're everywhere, and I do want to give a shout-out to a friend of the show, Klaus Barbie. He's really been a big help in promoting that page and also helped finding some guests for the show. So big thank you to him for helping us out.
Yeah, definitely. He's just been fantastic. He's so well-connected. And, you know, let's face it, that's kind of what it's about, networking and connecting. And I think that the paranormal community does a pretty good job of that. And I did want to say there was a couple of interesting posts or shares, I should say, on our Facebook page, Paranormal Horizons. There is a group called Angel on Call. And, of course, what's that about, Jason? Angels. And I'm a big, big believer in angels. And we have not had a guest. Well, we have talked about angels on this show, but I've got a couple guests in mind for the future that really focus on angels, and I'd like to have a guest like that on in the future. But Angel on Call is really interesting. Their message is that if you need guidance, angels are God's messengers, and they have all kinds of inspirational messages on their Facebook page, and then they shared some of that with us on our Facebook page. And I just thought that was really, you know, positive and inspiring, and I just appreciate stuff like that.
Yeah, and we talked about demons, so it would only make sense. We need to get some angel talk going in here to kind of offset the negativity.
Yeah, I know, because we had Archbishop File on a couple of weeks ago, who is a very positive spiritual man, but he's dealing all the time with negativity and demonic energy, because that's kind of what his job is in the Catholic Church, is to, you know, exorcise, or not exorcise, but he helps to get rid of the bad stuff, the bad juju, if you will, when they determine that there's really a demon or you know, some sort of negative entity in a home or that has possessed a person.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how he does it. I know that, you know, I deal with enough negativity being married, so I don't know how you take the extra load of all the demonic activity and negative spirit activity out there.
Yeah, well, he had some really interesting stories, too, that even in his own home, where he encountered, you know, black-looking spirits and things like that, but he's so used to doing it, and he was just amazing. But anyway, Angel on Call, I just wanted to mention for everybody to check out their Facebook page, and then they are also sharing some of their posts on our Facebook page. And it's just kind of positive, you know, things like keep your head up, keep your heart strong. And, you know, sometimes we just kind of need that little uplifting message, if you will.
Absolutely. I could use more of
it. Now, another share on our Facebook page, Jason, was GeoSpirits. Did you get a chance to check them out?
I did. You know, I've been communicating with so many groups out there lately that I want to say that was one of the ones that I've been, like, chatting with, but I can't say for sure. Oh. I know I did go visit their website, and I think I told them that I would promote them on the NW Paranormal page, and
okay.
I posted their stuff there, but it's very interesting, and as far as I know, they're the only ones that have, I'll let you explain what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, they're really interesting, and I had not heard of them before, but so the website is GeoSpirits, and they have an interactive paranormal mapping system, and so what that means, it's anywhere in the United States, that of reportedly haunted locations. You can go onto the website, find the state or the area that you're interested in, and it brings up all these supposed haunted locations. And I went ahead and checked out Oregon, which is where you and I are, and sure enough, it brought up four locations, Shiloh Inn in Beaverton, which I didn't know that that was haunted. But apparently people have reported, and I've stayed there before, Jason, but, doesn't mean anything. But anyway, and it's an old, Shiloh Inn. But, yeah, it's apparently, people have heard footsteps and, seen some guy running around in the hallways and like that. So we'll have to check that out sometime. And then there's the Bagdad Theater and Pub in Portland. The Edgefield McMinimums, which you and I have been to before, in Troutdale. That was formerly called the Multnomah Poor Farm. And then there's also the Welch's Roadhouse Inn in Portland. And that's just four locations in Oregon. There's several others. Like, there's even one in Redmond, Oregon. There's some up in Eastern Oregon. But it's just really a cool website. So everybody out there, if you're interested in finding some haunted locations, check out GeoSports' website. And then, Jason, I also wanted to mention they have a great Facebook page themselves. And one of the posts that they just recently put on their Facebook page was a house called the Hannah House. And this was a mansion in Indianapolis, Indiana. And it was being moved, and they have a big picture of it, and it's just like this gigantic mansion. It's all, falling down, and just looks like it's going to fall down any minute. Well, they were moving it. I don't know where, where they were moving it or why. But then in the window, you can see this outline of a girl, and it's very vivid. Now, granted, somebody maybe could have, Photoshop that in there, who knows, but it's supposedly one of the 10 most haunted houses in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to know with all the para-fakery if something is haunted or not.
I know. Yeah, definitely. Now, one other last comment on the GeoSpirits. They're also affiliated with the Louisiana Spirits Paranormal Investigations. So it's kind of one group that does all of this. So just to kind of give a shout out to them, because they just have some really interesting stuff. So that's kind of what I wanted to say, just kind of thank everybody for checking out our Facebook page. And, I like that whole sharing thing of everybody sharing information, because it's just so interesting.
Yeah, we thanks to our friend Klaus, I don't know the exact numbers, but within 36 hours, we got another 300 likes on the page, I think.
Yeah,
so
he's well
really
connected,
cool.
That's for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, so what's kind of on your radar? What have you been seen that's interesting in the paranormal world?
Well, for me personally, I have kind of put out the vibe out there to actually be a guest on shows to talk about UFOs and stuff like that. And I was on Beyond Paranormal, also on Blog Talk, last week. And then I believe Evan Jensen and me booked some other shows as well. So I'm trying to get out a little bit more with that. And also I'm going to be helping Edwin Becker out next, I believe it's Monday at 2 p.m. on his show, The Hot Zone, which is on Blog Talk, and it's about conspiracies, which is kind of right up my alley. I know a lot about
it.
Yeah. All I do is sit around and read about conspiracy theory. So that's kind of what I'm doing. But I did have a story that to share. Actually, it's not a news story, but it is interesting. It's one of the things that maybe some of the listeners out there have run across, but it's pretty interesting. So I guess
all
I
right,
can tell you all.
What is it?
Oh yeah, have you ever heard of the Dead Man's Chair?
The Dead Man Chair?
Chair, like sitting.
Oh, the Dead Man Chair. No, I have not. What is that?
Well, there's actually a really haunted chair. It's supposedly the most haunted chair in the world, and the story behind it is there's a chair. It's called Busby's Stoop Chair, and that's the chair that's haunted. And what it is the chair was the favorite chair of a murderer named Thomas Busby in 1702.
He was a
pretty nasty, nasty man. And before he was hanged, he had a last request, which was to sit in his chair and drink some beer, ale. And so that was granted before they executed him, which I don't think they do that nowadays. I think you just get a last meal, and I think some places are even getting rid of the last meals. But apparently in 1702, if you want to down some beer and sit in your favorite chair, you could do it. So, so he was drinking his beer, and when he was finished, he exclaimed that, "May sudden death come to anyone who sits in my chair."
Oh, wow.
So this is where it gets interesting. So the chair had stayed around for many, many decades. And during the time of World War II, the pub was still around. And what people began to notice is that people that went off to war that had previously sat in the chair never made it home. I guess there
really?
Were quite a few people that went to war. So on the top of my head, I'm thinking, well, yeah, you're going to die. But it actually gets a little bit more interesting. In 1967, two pilots sat in it, and when they left the pub, they were in the same car, they crashed into a tree, and they both died. The chair has killed anyone who has sat in it. To date, 63 deaths have been attributed to this one chair. In 1972, the pub owner donated the chair to a museum, and the museum hung the chair on the wall to avoid further deaths, so they didn't want anybody else sitting in that evil chair.
Don't sit in the darn chair.
Yeah, scary stuff.
Yeah.
So do you think that's real? Do you think a chair can kill people?
Well, I think there could be some energy on the chair from Thomas. I think some people are just powerful enough to invoke something like that. But then, you know, if somebody sits in the chair and they're like, oh, wow, you know, something might happen. I think that there's some self-imposed energy around that, too. You know, and Archbishop File talked about that a little bit, too, Jason, where it's like if you sort of, you know, play around with a Ouija board, something might happen.
Yeah.
You know. Hey, it looks like we have a caller.
Yeah, I know who that is, too. Do you want to talk about your stuff? You want to bring him right in?
Well, no, let's go ahead and bring him in so that he's not, because, you know, I can talk about my stuff later. So, yeah.
Okay. I know this number well. Please welcome
all
to the
right.
show, Evan Jensen. You are live.
Oops. Hey, I was just listening, and I accidentally hit one, and I know better, obviously.
Hi, Evan.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm okay. How about yourself?
Well, it's been a hell of a morning so far. Gosh, I woke up and was grumpy, and I took a nap, and I was more grumpy. Then
now,
I said, well, I'll work on some
that you
stuff.
Were grumpy. Now, I'm shocked.
Well, then I went and took another nap, and I woke up even more grumpy. What's up with that?
Evan can
now,
be grumpy.
How does your wife put up with you, Evan?
I hide. I walk in the closet. See, I got a closet that's got my space, my own little space, right? So when I need to hide, I just kind of close the door, stack all the clothes on the other side, and nobody can ever find me again.
Well, you know, she's an angel, so you're lucky.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. She is. I don't know why she's up with me for that long, but, you know, I got lucky there.
Well, tell her hello from me. Tell Emily hello. So.
Yeah, I never forget. Remember that? Speaking of angels and ghosts, now remember at the Para Conference in Oregon City? That was so much fun.
It was.
We talked about events. You know, where you made that ghost. You handmade that ghost.
Oh,
that
yeah, and she put it on her head.
Well, I still have it today. Yeah,
oh.
It's at my table.
Aww. I'm so glad.
It was just comical. You remember when she was so excited, either she was bored or having way too much fun, but she walked around with it on her head and, ooh, I see you. And what she didn't see was that the people were taking pictures behind her, and she got nailed with that one.
It was a moment, that's for sure.
It was a moment. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. And as we're talking about events.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, this summer I'm gonna rent a van, a couple of vans, like two vans, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have a good old paranormal cookout for people in the Oregon, Washington area. And that should be quite a few people. I'll make the news and so forth here in the next couple of weeks. And we're going to rent a campground. We're basically going to own the campground for a couple of days.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah. And
where?
I was talking to Michael P. Jones from the world famous Shanghai Tunnels downtown Portland, the
mm-hmm.
curator. And he's got some property up at Mount Hood where the actual campground is incredibly haunted. There's a lot of stuff that's been documented there, and they've had paranormal research teams in there. Well, he owns a whole bunch of cabins there, like six or eight cabins.
Wow.
And he's like, let's do a camp out. You know, bring people. They can do paranormal investigations there. They can talk about what they're doing. And it's just kind of a big general let's meet each other sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the ideas I wanted to make happen here in the next, probably the next 2 months. It's still a little cold, actually. So I figure if we do it in July, we'll be looking really good.
Or maybe August.
Or maybe even August. Yeah, that's the hottest part of the year here.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're up in the mountains. But if I like the part about renting a couple vans and taking people, you know, because then you're kind of doing it as a group versus having, you know, a bunch of people just pull in and, you know,
mm-hmm.
how that goes. So I thought that would be kind of a nice little touch.
I might, you know, people might need somebody to drive them in depending on where it is, because sometimes up there at Mount Hood, it's hard to find. Places.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, this is just up there on the other side of Rhododendron, so it's not too far up the mountain. But it's,
okay.
Yeah, out in my neck of the woods, that's even better.
There you go. See? So, yeah, Jason's a country boy. You wouldn't think so when you see a picture of him on his Harley and driving down the street.
Yep.
But,
you know, Evan, that would be a fantastic gathering, and I support you in doing that because it would just be so fun to, you know, get out in the country and enjoy the beautiful Oregon environment that we have here, and, yeah, make it happen. I'll be there.
Yeah, that's cool. We'll make that happen. We'll put it together. I'm going to have Darlene watch. She's in chat right now. I'm going to have her help me put the event together. Because I don't do paranormal. It's not going to be a paranormal conference. I just don't like the idea of the name paranormal conferences.
Maybe just more of a socializing kind of thing, you know?
Exactly. There's no money involved other than you may have to rent the cabin or something or go, you know, whatever. But it won't be a lot. Then you're just your own feel to get there or whatever. And it's a way where people, you know, they can get to know each other, they can represent, they can bring all their equipment, they've got a big lodge, they
mm-hmm.
can set up their stuff there, you know, you can share, you know, what everybody does. And because there's so many people, just between Washington and Oregon,
mm-hmm.
there are so many people that I haven't even got to meet. You know, I just chat with them occasionally and you know, it's kind of nice to get to know these people.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like sometimes those kind of things are just so perfect, and people that they're, you know, they just get to know each other. There's no, you know, no particular event or anything like that. Like you're saying, it's just kind of a gathering. So that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would. I mean, it would be fun when, you know, there'll be a campfire blazing, and, you know, there's nothing better than untold ghost stories during an open fire. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I take it they have power out there. Do they have electricity?
Yeah, they do. It's really civilized, actually. You're out in the country, and you're in a campground, but it's quite civilized, and that's the neat thing about it.
Because I'll bring all my equipment if there's somewhere to plug it all in. I mean, I'll put cameras everywhere.
Definitely is. Yeah. No, there's power out there for sure, because he's had a couple events out there where they actually did, some presentation work and everything, and so, yeah, there's definitely power out there. I mean, you're not really roughing it too hard. They've got cabins and things like that.
Yeah.
Very
cool.
So, Evan, what else is going on with you, like, in the paranormal world?
Well,
I know you've been doing a lot of shows.
We've been doing some shows. I kind of laid back just a little bit. You know, we, the last couple of days, I just kind of took it easy with the holidays. We had the one show that we did, and it was just kind of a producer's tell-all where I was asked some questions and just kind of let people know who I really am. A lot of people, they only hear you on the radio when you're, you know, presenting your show and so on, and they don't get to know you that well. They know what you do, and they like how you talk and everything, but it's my opinion that, you know, people should always get to meet the real you, you know?
Absolutely.
And now tomorrow we have a show on Unexplained Phenomena with Martha Hazard Decker. She's a really, really super good guest. She's got, you know, like 20 years police, experience and a lot of experience in the field. And she was a former assistant police chief, which is an incredibly high position for any woman to be in any town, really. And she's written a book called Paranormal Profiling that explains how you should use some kind of a law background into, you know, profiling your clients before you actually do their haunted cases. And it's a really good book, and she's going to make a really good guest. So that's tomorrow at 6 p.m.
on
the network.
Okay, 6 p.m. Pacific time.
And that's
on Blog Talk?
Yeah, it'll be Blog Talk, yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then, not this month, but next month, we will be leaving Blog Talk. And that's kind of a big news for us. So we might use it occasionally, but we're going to be running the shows through our own studios.
Oh, fantastic. Good.
Yeah, so that way we can get away from Blog Talk. And, I mean, Blog Talk is great for a lot of things, but there's some things that we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And so our webmaster has been working really hard on making it happen, and the holidays came up, so I didn't get to meet with them, and then some other stuff. So now, you know, that things are slowing down a little bit and getting back to reality, our normal grind here, we're going to meet. And when we meet, he has to show me how to operate this thing, because there's like 20-some programs that need to be running and stuff and working.
Uh-oh.
And stuff. Like
you need an engineer, Evan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will need an engineer pretty soon, and that's not going to be me, that's for sure.
Well, gosh, that sounds exciting, and I know you're always great about hosting your shows on Facebook, and so we'll have to look forward to your up-and-coming shows.
Oh, sometimes we have a lot of shows, and... You know, I don't know
train.
What it is, but I think our train system around here is possessed. It's got to be.
That's what I said, the ghost train.
Well, I mean, if you look, and I'm asking everybody, go look and see when the train is supposed to be scheduled, because it's never, that I've known in years, in like 6-7 years, ever came when they said it was going to come. It comes
well, of
other
course.
Time.
That's how trains are.
Wow.
And I've been to Evan's place, and let me tell you, well, you have two, Pat, and that train, like, you could, like, spit on it. I mean, that's how close it is.
It really is close. It really is.
I know, and it never fails, but when we were doing a show.
Oh, I know. So I just called it the Devil Train.
So.
I keep thinking of that song, you know, The Devil Went Down to Georgia, and then the other song with the train, and I'm like, yeah, that's what it is.
Charlie Daniels.
Wow. But, I think there's one more project that I wanted to talk about. I'm trying to get you and Jason to go along to do it.
What is it?
It's at the waterfront park there at Cathedral Park in St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
There's a myth about, well, it's not a myth. There's an actual woman that was raped and tortured down there for like 12 hours during the night. Now in the middle of the night, and there's been many, many, many people come forward about it, even police officers, that they hear the woman screaming, blood-curdling sounds in the middle of the night. They go investigate, and they can't find anybody. And so I wanted to do an investigation about that time to see if we get any EVPs or any kind of action from anything down there at that time. Maybe, you know, if we can step that either it's a myth or it's actually happening, but I'd like to find out.
When did it happen?
It happened a long time ago. Jason, you're aware of it too, right, of the case?
I've heard of it, and that's a legit thing. People hear, you know, this woman screaming down there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll make a link about it, so put it on your page there, you guys, so you can check it out. But I would sure like to do that investigation there to either disband that it's a myth, you know, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
And that's something that I was interested in doing. And it kind of gave me a new direction to go in Portland. There's so many tales in Portland and Oregon City. I just want to know if they're myths, you know,
right.
Are the legends untold, or is there some truth to them? And
I know.
So I'm going to start instead. I want to kind of back off doing haunted, demonic type work for a while. I mean, that's it takes a toll on you.
Yeah, but, you know, speaking of that, though, Evan, did you hear me mention earlier that Shiloh Inn in Beaverton is allegedly haunted?
Yes, I know that hotel well.
Okay, I had not ever heard that before, and I've stayed there before, too, so that's kind of interesting. So something
that is
interesting,
and I want to do some more research on that, too, because I know that hotel well. We've stayed there several times. Every year during Christmas, they put out one fantastic Christmas display. They have Santa out there handing out, you know, candy canes, and they're real big into that every year.
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
Yeah, and you just go down by the freeway there, you know, and you can see it. It's all lit up, and it's really, really fantastic. But
mm-hmm.
then to hear that it's haunted, I'm like, wow, I was really surprised.
Yeah, so we'll have to check that out. And then, yeah, let's talk about offline you know, another day about checking out the waterfront episode, so to speak, you know, with the the woman who was tortured.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that. So
yeah, she was a horrible case, and it was well documented and all that, and horrible. You know, they say that they can hear her screams and all that. I'm like, gosh, that's just frightening, really
it
frightening.
Is.
And makes you want to help her, you know, maybe help her cross over to the other side or something. Help her, you know, in some
maybe
way
give her a little peace. But, yeah,
yeah,
so, you know, Evan, it's so good to talk to you, and you sound
yes, well,
really
thanks
good.
Thanks for letting me on. I didn't actually intend to get on because, well, I'm used to hitting the one button. That's what I do, right? And
yeah, but you sound really
button.
Good, and I'm
you cornered me.
No, I'm happy to hear you again. And, yeah, so we've got a few more stories Jason
okay,
and I want to share with the audience tonight. So.
All right.
Do you want
thanks for having me on, guys.
All righty. Hey, thanks for calling in, Evan.
All right. All right. Have a good one. I'll be listening.
All right. Good night, Evan.
Okay, good night.
Evan Jensen, friend of Paranormal Horizons, thanks for calling in. And, boy, he's got a lot going on, Jason.
Yes, and I am totally game to go down to this waterfront park and see if we can't pick up anything. I don't know that I'd take cameras, but it would be interesting just to kind of experience it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to coordinate that for sure. But, yes, so... You know, Jason, I thought, I just wanted to remind everyone you're listening to Paranormal Horizons here on blogtalkradio.com. If you'd like to call in and chat with us this evening in our roundtable session, the number is 215-383-3999, 215-383-3999. 383-3999. And, of course, beyondtheedgeofreality.com is our chat room. If you'd like to just kind of hang out and chat and talk to the other people that are in the chat room. So did you want to maybe we can take a quick commercial break, Jason.
Ooh, we can do that. Let's see here. So much to choose from.
I know.
Oh, let's just go with a classic old one.
All right. We'll be back.
This is author Edwin F. Becker. My success with 1-800-RENT-A-GHOST has been such that I have a whole new enterprise. It is for those that are thinking, man, I can't wait for that zombie apocalypse. Well, I have the answer for you. Dial 1-800-OWN-A-ZOMBIE. You'll be the center of attention wherever you go. What a surprise those Jehovah Witnesses will get when they knock on your door. Are you the black sheep of the family? Just think of the terror you can bring to that next family gathering. I'll bet you never knew fat old Uncle Ned could jump tables and run so fast. Or, take your zombie to the next high school reunion. You can turn him loose on the nerdy brainiacs that made fun of you and say goodbye to their high IQs. Laid off from your executive job? Take your special friend to the boardroom to help you say farewell to your boss. You'll add a new meaning to the term budget cuts. Neighbors giving you problems making noise? Introduce them to your new pal and stand back, because all will be quiet very soon. You'll be waiting for that next a-hole to look at you and say, bite me. Because anyone who gives you the finger really does give you the finger.
Excuse me, kind sir.
Dial 1-800-OWN-A-ZOMBIE. Order now and get the free book, Sewing on Limbs Can Be Creative. Not responsible for infectious disease, death, mayhem, severed limbs, cannibalism, paranoia, loss of sanity, nor that god-awful stench. And one more thing. There will be no returns.
No returns.
Our friend of Paranormal Horizons, Edwin Becker, and then just to re-mention, Jason, you are going to be co-hosting the Hot Zone with him.
Yeah, I think he just wanted me to help him out with the Hot Zone next Monday. I don't know that it's something that I'm regularly going to do. It's going to be kind of tight on my schedule because I'm going to have to go right from school to do that. But I'll help him out.
Okay.
I think he just wants my help because I'm so well versed in the conspiracy theory.
Right.
So.
Well, good. So, and you know, just to kind of give a shout out for that show, if you're not able to tune in exactly at the time, that's something that you can always go back and listen to the on-demand episode. That's what's so great about Blog Talk Radio, Jason.
Yes, we love Blog Talk. And I did want to add a little bit of useless information. With a lot of these intros and, like, Edwin's commercial there, I actually, one of my hobbies is to work with audio, so all those effects that you hear on all these things, yeah, that's all me.
I know.
That's all my doing.
It's so fun, and I want to, we're just going to keep enhancing that as we go forward, so I think, you know, special effects and music are just make everything much more interesting and fun. And talking about interesting, Jason, I got to tell you about this story that I know you are going to think is crazy.
No, probably.
Yeah, because you don't believe in elves, do you?
No.
Okay. Now, come on, hear
elves.
Me out. Hear
okay.
me out here. So, now, this is something that I never knew, but that Iceland, they have a kind of a claim to fame that they have elves. And this is a very recent story. This isn't an old story. This just came up on the website May 11th. So let me just read a few excerpts here. Iceland's own elf whisperer has dedicated her life to protecting the country's little people. Now, I don't know if an elf is also a leprechaun, but, you know, I'm kind of thinking maybe that's kind of the same thing. But apparently Iceland is, you know, has a lot of you know, mythological tales and folklore and things like that, you know, kind of like Scotland and Ireland and all of that. So they have definitely, you know, a lot of people just have a definite firm belief that there's elves, and they call them little people. And so recently, well, last December, fairly recently, 25 people turned out to protest the construction of a road through a lava field near, and I'm really going to mess up this name because it's an Iceland name, Reykjavika, on the basis that it would pass through a rock believed to be an elven church. Okay? Yeah, an elven church. One of those participating in the protests was Ragnhildur Jostadottir, who from an early age has maintained that she had the ability to see and communicate with these mythological spirits. So, and she's not alone. I mean, there's other, you know, people in Iceland that believe in elves. So 8% of Iceland's population believes that elves exist.
But has anybody actually taken a picture?
Say that again, Jason.
Has anybody, like, taken a picture of one of these Icelandic elves?
That I do not know, but, that's a good question. I'll have to research that a little more. But I'm going to kind of go, I mean, elves, you know, calling them little people, I think that also falls into the category of leprechauns. So, you know, that's a whole folklore thing, but, you know, call it crazy, but I don't know, you know, could be. And, you know, Iceland is so removed. I mean, I don't know anything really about Iceland other than there's been a couple of good, you know, bands that have come out from Iceland in the last couple of years. But I just thought that was an interesting story that they were also claiming to, you know, have elves.
Yeah, I don't know much about that.
Into the category of fairies. And so anyway, that was, I just wanted to throw that out there to the audience and see if anybody in the chat room wanted to comment, you know, if they believed in elves. I'll just throw that out there right now.
I don't know much about Iceland. I do know it's got some pretty kick-ass volcanoes. And,
yeah.
I know it doesn't have a very big population and there's copious amounts of ice. But, yeah, I'm a little bit skeptic on the – and now you said they call them little people?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, because I think of Oompa Loompas.
People.
When you say little people, I think of, like, Oompa Loompa, you
well,
know, the chocolate
maybe
factory.
That's where the Oompa Loompas came from, you know?
They could have been elves. And I also think of Lord of the Rings when you say elves, you know, like these, you know, they're running around on horses shooting arrows and stuff.
Yeah, well, Lord of the Rings, though, you mean, well, yeah, they had elves and they had hobbits, and but the elves weren't really little people. They were big people, but
yeah.
They were very, you know, they had a certain psychic powers and, you know, things that they could do that the normal person couldn't do, so, yeah.
Well, you never know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jason. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I say you never know. Maybe I'm being too skeptical. Maybe elves are real. Who knows?
Yeah, well, Darlene in the chat room is saying that she has seen little black shadows, but she says she doesn't know if they're elves. They might have been ghost cats, which I could relate to as well. So, but anyway, we've got about, you know, 15 or 20 minutes left here on the show, Jason, and I think you had some more, another interesting story to talk about.
That was pretty much the only one I really isolated. But, you know, as always, there's a lot going on out there. In fact, one of my own new personal projects is I started a Facebook page, and it was kind of a joke to start with. A couple people were saying I should do it. And the title of that Facebook page is Jason Ophir's Para-Analysis. And that's really where I get to let my skeptic juices flow. So I find all these videos and pictures and stuff. And I kind of give it my own little analysis. So it's pretty fun for
me. And what's the give us the Facebook page again?
It's Jason Ophir's Para-Analysis. I should probably make sure that that's what it is. But it's fun. You know, I like to look at stuff. And, you know, I can't tell if something's real or not. But, you know, there are a lot of cases where, you know, things are obviously fictitious. And it's just fun to kind of point out some of the things of why I believe that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at it. Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's what I like about you is that, yes, you believe in the paranormal, but you're very skeptical, and you're not going to just believe anything that anybody says. And I think so many of the other paranormal investigators that I've met throughout my short career in the paranormal, those are the ones that I respect the most, that they're like, you know, they're not going to say no or nay, but they're like, okay, wait a minute. Let's look at the facts here. And because you got to have to weed everything out and try to determine, like, okay, wait a minute. Is this something that could really be a mystery? Is this something that's really paranormal? Or is it just a hoax, you know?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I intentionally am avoiding doing, which is I am not calling things fake. I basically give it a percentage of it being likely. So if it's totally unlikely, I might say it's, 90% unlikely. But I will never call something fake because in reality, I don't know. I wasn't there. I've had a lot of experiences that people will look at me and go, hey, you're crazy. But it's one of those things, you know, if you weren't there, it's really hard to know for sure 100%. Although there are some videos that are pretty obviously fake. I mean, you don't see a lot of, like, Star Wars crafts hovering over San Francisco that people are mm-hmm. claiming to be real. But, I try not to call things fake because it kind of pisses people off.
Yeah, right. You're considerate. But you know what? Just kind of talking about that, like what's real and not real, I did have another kind of little story that I wanted to talk about, Jason. And this is the ghost of Michael Jackson has been photographed.
I saw that. You know what? I should have remembered to talk about that. Yeah, tell us about it because it is interesting.
Well, you know, there apparently, and I didn't know this, that there's, let me back up a little bit. So, and this is a recent story. You know, this is on May 18th, a picture taken by a teenager of a Michael Jackson impersonator turned out to feature a ghostly extra. So a 14-year-old guy had been waiting in line at a Michael Jackson tribute concert. And he actually wanted to get the autograph, you know, of the actor or the singer that was doing the Michael Jackson tribute concert. And then he decided to take some photos. His name was Reese. And then later, when he reviewed the photos, he noticed something that looked unique or unusual in one of the shots. And it was a strange blue figure in the corner that seemed to look exactly like the King of Pop himself, Michael Jackson. You know, and he said it was really weird and eerie, and he had to look at it over and over. And he had no idea what happened on that one picture, but he felt that it was terrifying. It was like something out of Thriller. So could this 14-year-old really have captured that image of Michael Jackson, you know, haunting the tribute concert? Who knows? There's no proof or anything like that, but I don't know. The ghost of Michael Jackson.
I've seen that picture. It was circulating quite a lot, and it is probably an image that I need to put on my para-analysis page. It is a very striking image of Michael Jackson with the sunglasses. I mean, it really doesn't appear to me like there's a whole lot of pareidolia involved with it. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
So if it was fake, I think, you know, it's a doctored picture. And but what was weird about it to me is the angle of which he appeared in the picture was a little weird. It was like almost like if he was laying more horizontally, like his head popping in kind of thing at an angle. It was kind of strange.
Yeah, and then on that article that I had pulled up on the internet, then there were several comments and all over the place. You know, some people were saying, oh, no, you know, anybody will do anything for attention, and, you know, 15 minutes of fame, there's no way that was Michael Jackson's ghost. And then there was some that said, wow, it really, you know, looked like Michael Jackson to them. So it was just kind of all over the place. You know, it's kind of like the stories that we've heard in the past of, you know, someone saying they see the Virgin Mary, you know,
mm-hmm.
or Jesus Christ or whatever. So, you know, I don't know. I have no solid feeling on that, although I do know that I believe in spirits and I believe in angels, and I just can't rule out that, you know, someone's spirit might be able to be powerful enough to, you know, show themselves or, I don't know, project some kind of energy about themselves. So I don't know, but just thought I would mention it.
Yeah, well, it is a definitely interesting picture. And, you know, if we talk to Archbishop Ron File, I need to make sure it's File, right? I don't want to say
yeah.
it wrong again. Okay.
File. No, it's File,
you know.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's got the whole demon thing, so it would make sense to me that if demons exist, then there would have to be angels. But I would sure like to see one. How do we make that happen?
You mean see a
awesome.
Demon or an angel?
No, not a demon, an angel. I don't want to see a demon.
Okay. Well, you know, with angels, Jason, I believe that it's more of a feeling. And I've done a lot of reading on angels, and actually, you know, I think on an upcoming show that we should have, you know, someone that can chat with us a little bit about angels. But I have a book that I wanted to mention to everybody out there that I've had for a long time. It's called Our Angels and Our Mysteries, and it's written by a woman named Miriam Baker. It's not a particularly new book. She might have released something new, and I don't have it, but this came out in the 90s, and she just talks a lot about, you know, the basics of angels and kind of what they do and how to attract angels and things like that. And her overall, you know, message is that angels are, they're not necessarily going to appear to you, but they hear you and they will, you know, reach out to you and help you, but they don't like, and I love this when she said this, they don't like begging. So, like, if you're like, oh my gosh, I need help, oh, please help me, you know, I've made a big mistake, oh, please, please, please help me. They like, you know, more of sort of, you know, positive requests for help and things like that. It's just really interesting. And then there's the whole hierarchy of angels. You know, there's Michael and Raphael and, you know, the really powerful angels that have, there's so much belief in them, Jason, that it's mind-blowing. It's just hard for me to not think that they don't really, you know, live out there in that spiritual world that I wish I was more connected with and maybe will be someday. But they, you know, connections with angels is something that I think that we all have the ability to do if we kind of open ourselves up to letting that happen. And again, I myself have to learn more about that.
When I'm sitting there, you know, playing the fruit machines, I shouldn't like beg to win. That would explain why I don't win sometimes, because I'm begging.
Please.
Yeah, I don't know if an angel would help you with that, but I'm not. I mean, I don't know the accurate answer to that, but there really are angels, and I do. There's lots of great books about angels, so like I said, we're going to have to kind of delve into that a little bit deeper for the audience because, you know the old saying, oh, everybody has a guardian angel. I believe that.
Well, now, I've been on a show, and the lady gave me the name of, like, the guardian angel watching over me. Like, how do you know if somebody's really communicates with these beings or not? It's so confusing.
Well, I think you have to have a lot of trust. And, yeah, I'm not completely sure how to answer that. But I think there just has to be a lot of trust. Just kind of if you, kind of like faith or... You know, if you believe in God, you have to have a lot of faith and all of that. But I don't know. Angels, I think, are here to help us and that there really is a hierarchy. And I do believe that we all have a guardian angel. And then there's also the spirit guides that look over us. That's a whole nother show that we could talk about. Spirit guides and all of that. Do you believe in spirit guides, Jason?
I know some people, and I've mentioned it a couple times in the past that people have seen somebody, you know, next to me. But I'll tell you what my main question with the whole demon angel thing is let's assume that demons exist and they're fighting for our souls, and then naturally you'd have the duality of that with angels trying to save us. Isn't that kind of a messed up situation that we would be placed on this planet basically as fodder for good and evil? That just seems kind of messed up to me.
Yeah.
I would like somebody to explain that to me, why that is.
That's pretty deep.
Well, it's just like we're pawns in some biblical war. That's just because it's messed up doesn't mean it's not real, too. So
right.
That could be the case. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying, you know, if it is, that's pretty jacked.
I know. Now, hey, I wanted to mention real quick, Jason, that Darlene in the chat room had mentioned, and I hope she's okay with me sharing this, that she said that her daughter saw an angel sitting on her bed. She described a nurse that worked at the hospital for over 30 years and had passed away.
Hmm.
So there's a whole nother question. So, you know, when people pass away, do they become angels? You know, what's the whole thing with that? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. So... Throughout the years, I've talked to a lot of people that have believed that, you know, maybe their guardian angel or their spirit guides were someone that they had known or, you know, a relative or something like that that was looking over them. I don't know. You know, maybe that's just something that, you know, people say to make themselves feel better.
It definitely sounds like we need to get somebody on that is very well versed in angels and spirit guides.
Yeah. And this particular book that I was talking about, Our Angels and Our Mysteries by Marion Baker, you know, she's got some chapters in here, How to Attract Angels.
Ooh, that would be good.
Yeah. And, you know, just some kind of some basic subjects and I find that all interesting, so we'll have to kind of work on that, having someone to talk a little more about that. I hope we all have angels, because I think we need them, Jason.
Well, in today's world, with all the killing, lying, deceit, backstabbing, we definitely need angels, right? But, you know, if you look at the state of the world with all this craziness going on, you'd almost think that the dark forces are actually winning the war.
I know. I know. You know, that's one thing we did not really talk with Archbishop File about, who, you know, is with the Catholic Church, for those of you who didn't get to tune into that episode. But we didn't really get to talk to him about angels. I would be curious what he had to say about that.
Yeah, I would too. It would definitely be interesting. I mean, the dark stuff is fun to talk about, but we definitely need to mix it up with some diversity and get some of the love and light in the show.
Yeah, absolutely. But, well, Jason, I think it's just about time for us to end our roundtable session this evening, and I wanted to thank Evan Jensen for calling in this evening and kind of getting us up to date what's going on with him. And he's got lots of interesting shows on Blog Talk Radio also. And... yeah, just next week we'll have another show. Now, Jason, you've kind of been lining up the guests and so forth. Do we have something lined up for next week already?
Not yet. I have been working on a couple people, people that we haven't had on the shows yet, but I don't have anything firmed up yet for next week. Excuse me, but I will.
We get an angel.
Joking.
We
I'm
might get someone.
Here is a sign.
Yeah, but also we might get someone to talk about angels. And I just wanted to remind everyone that you can listen to this show and all the episodes of Paranormal Horizons on the on-demand episodes on blogtalkradio.com, Paranormal Horizons. And thank you for checking out our Facebook page as well.
Yes, and please keep checking out our Facebook pages, and also check out Jason Ophir's Paranalysis, and also NW Paranormal group on Facebook as well. That's another
okay.
one that I kind of run as well, and I want to thank everybody for participating in chat tonight, and I think that's about it.
Right on. So everybody have a good week. Take care of each other, and take care of your four-legged critters. I'm Pat Rice. Great to chat with you tonight, Jason, and I'll chat with you next week. Same time, same place.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.